Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steve and Eric hanging out. Sports Saturday at CCO. 37 degrees. Winds out of the west at 12 miles an hour. Sneaking a peek between the buildings. Looks like there's some sun out there. Eric, we brought up Daytona 500. Great American Race tomorrow. Alex Bowman on the pole. For that one, the big event of the year, starting the season for NASCAR. But how about this? Peyton Manning, two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback, will serve as honorary pace car driver for the 60th running of the Daytona 500. I bet there'll be butterflies for Peyton Manning.
Why not? I mean, he's done a lot, but he's never done that. And he's a guy who he grew up, you know, predominantly in Louisiana, went to college at Tennessee, so that's fertile NASCAR country down there in the deep south. So yeah, Peyton Manning, he's got to have something to do now, because you can only do those nationwide spots so many, you know, that can only take up so much of your day.
Well, he can count his money. I mean, doesn't he have those Papa John's stores, and he's got all sorts of other business interests. And you know, the thing about Peyton Manning, say what you want about him, whenever he's appeared on Saturday Night Live, this guy has a pretty good sense of humor. I mean, he's doing those ads for the insurance.
Nationwide
insurance.
They're on your side, Stevie.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I just think he does a good job at that stuff.
Well, he has a dry sense of humor. Yeah. And he's able to take a little jab from some of the other people in the spots and still get his message across. I agree with you. I think he's a very likable guy, that he's got that Q rating that sponsors would look for, that he is somebody you could market. Certainly had a lot of success in the NFL with Indy and Denver, one of your iconic quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, no doubt about it.
I'm not saying that motorsports and NASCAR has gone the way of boxing and other sports that have seen much better days, but it is a sport in decline. People aren't showing up at the tracks. Television ratings are still good, comparatively speaking. NASCAR ratings still far beyond what they do in the NHL. Still gets good television ratings, but it is nevertheless a sport that has seen better days. And I wonder if there's a couple of things going on here. And that is that sometimes these races take 3 or 4 hours, and that there's some monotony with it. I mean, sometimes it's just a bunch of cars going around in a circle, and it takes a long time. And we keep hearing about the pace of play in MLB and that they're going to try and do more to speed these games up. But, for example, they're in the third period over in St. Paul, the Wild and the Ducks. NHL games, about 2.5 hours from the time they drop the puck until the time the game goes final. It goes to overtime, you get a shootout, maybe a little longer than that. NBA games are typically about 220.
They're even quicker than they have been in the past.
Yeah,
I've noticed this year they're getting, you know, you and I do the Howlin' shows occasionally, and
yeah.
I think in the past we knew we'd get on, if it was a night game, 7:10 tip, we would take the airwaves, you know, about 10:05, 10:10. I've had a lot of Howlin's this year, and I think you too have had some where we're on at 9:45, that Alan and John are signing off from the network that much earlier because the game ended about 10 minutes earlier. And yeah, NHL games, I was at the Wild and Rangers the other night in St. Paul. I knew, barring overtime, I'm going to be leaving the building at 9:30 or 9:35, and that's exactly what happened. So pace of play, I find it ironic in NASCAR where it's all about speed, that yeah, you'd want to, you know, speed it up even more, but I think you're right. Yeah, now you're into NASCAR more than a lot of people, but that is the knock. A lot of people say, well, it's just a bunch of guys going around an oval, and it's hard to tune in for three and a half hours. But back to Peyton Manning for a second. Maybe NASCAR realizes, hey, to get these eyeballs, we got to bring in some celebs. Aaron Rodgers is also going to be at Daytona tomorrow because his new girlfriend, Danica Patrick, is racing. One of two races for Danica this year, Daytona and the Indy 500. So Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning will be at Daytona.
Yeah, and it is another sport. And I've been to events in person and on television, and TV does a good job. But it's one of those sports that doesn't translate really as well to television. You know, where football is tailor-made for television. You know, the Super Bowl is a great example. It was cool to be at the Super Bowl. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the experience of being there. But it is tailor-made for TV. It's just a great television sport. But for instance, I've seen the race in Phoenix. They have one in the spring, one in the fall in Phoenix. I've been there in person. I've watched it on TV. It's so much better in person. It's so much more interesting in person.
That's why I need to see a NASCAR race. I've never been in person, and I've told myself at some point I want to go. Now, it would be easy to say Daytona. That is the Super Bowl of auto racing. But I'd almost want to do it at Talladega or Charlotte, where you're in the belly of the beast on a Saturday night in midsummer when it's hot and steamy and you got that rabid fan base. Not that you won't have it at Daytona, but Daytona, I think, is a bucket list race for people who really don't care about NASCAR. To me, I want to go, you know, to one of those other ones.
Yeah, one other thought on NASCAR, and this is a theory I have about you've had a number of big-time drivers retire and leave the sport. Jeff Gordon brought a lot of eyeballs to the sport when he came onto the scene, won a lot of races at the tail end of his career. Now he's fully retired and doing television. Tony Stewart, there are others that have retired in recent years. But here's another thing, and as crazy as this sounds, they've made the cars and the equipment so safe that you've taken away the danger associated. I'm not saying people watched racing because they hope people were going to get hurt or die. I don't believe that. But you take that away. These guys are now involved in horrific wrecks that once upon a time there was that thought, any given race, someone does something wrong, they goof up, someone could die. They've taken that out of the equation in this sport altogether. I mean, these guys can go barrel rolling down the front straightaway and pop out of the car without a scratch on them, which is great. But it takes away some of the danger associated with motorsports that maybe on some level attracted that it was dangerous.
Well, I think that's a good point.
Like any of these daredevil sports, you know, people climbing mountains without safety ropes. I mean, there's a reason they're doing that. Well, they want the thrill of the danger. And I think that's been taken out of motorsports to a certain extent. Open wheel, Indy cars, there's still a tremendous amount of danger associated with that. Not so much anymore in stock car racing.
It's the evolution of it all.
Yeah.
And really, in some ways, and that was one of the knocks on NASCAR when they tried to go mainstream. I mean, the hardcores and the purists were like, well, what are we trying to do? We are what we are. But you're trying to sanitize a sport, much like the NFL. I mean, there are people who probably watch the NFL today and say, that's not even close to what I used to watch, say, in the 60s or 70s, where the violence was there and people would never admit it, but they wanted to see a guy get knocked into next week. And it was legal to do it. So I think both those sports have struggled with ways to get safer but yet retain viewers. And I think that there is that thrill factor. Look, nobody wants to see anybody seriously hurt. And in NASCAR, we've seen people die. I mean, that's happened.
Oh, yeah.
It's the ultimate tragedy.
Well, and I remember being on the air all those years ago, and Dale Earnhardt got into that wreck in the closing laps of the Daytona 500. And I remember sitting in this studio. It was the old design, but in this spot, and seeing the wreck and remembering it very well. Well, that didn't look like that big a deal. And then as time went on, the reports got more and more serious. And somewhere in my folder, I have the AP bulletin that said he died that day at Daytona. And there were some dramatic changes made in the sport about the type of head support and seats. It's called the Hans device that holds the head still, even in a violent collision. all of the safety features that have gone into the cars. Safer barriers now. These guys can slam into the wall going 190, and these walls are designed with foam and energy-absorbing materials to give a little bit. When Dale Earnhardt was killed at Daytona, he went 190 miles into a concrete wall, and it was a tragedy. So the sport has changed. And I'm not saying it's 100%, but it's part of the equation that some of the danger isn't there, and some of the intrigue associated with danger, in that, you know, these guys are still, if you see it in person, it's still crazy. It's still like, wow, are these guys going fast? But it'll be very interesting to see what the television ratings are and what 2018 holds for that sport if we continue to see a decline at the gate and people staying away. So, you know, once upon a time, boxing used to be a big deal. Not so much anymore.
No.
You know, in a way, is it going in the direction of boxing? Or for that matter, horse racing? You've got the Kentucky Derby first Saturday in May and the Triple Crown Series. You got the Breeders' Cup in the fall. But beyond that, you know, there's not a lot of buzz around those sports.
They're niche sports in a lot of ways. And let's face it, there is so much competition for eyeballs watching sports on TV or going in person. Now, I mean, the rise of MLS, Major League Soccer. You know, 20 years ago, that really didn't register here in the U.S. That's now a player. I mean, we're getting a brand-new stadium here in the Twin Cities. I saw it the other day. It's popping up off I-94, Snelling exit. You can see the bones of that thing. So there's a lot of competition for attention on TV sports. Look, the NBA is going to play their All-Star game on Sunday. They'll have all that stuff tonight in L.A. It's not going to get a big number. An NFL preseason game is going to outdraw NBA All-Star Weekend. I'm going to guess that Daytona will get a decent number, but it won't be close to an NFL. The NFL is the only sport, even when they have declining ratings, that can still say we're going to get a solid number. Major League Baseball doesn't get what they'd like. Certainly National Hockey League on NBC now doesn't turn in the number that they would really like to have. So I just think there's so many options, and now you have the internet. People are on their phones. And, you know, once upon a time, auto racing was a big deal. I mean, think about the Indianapolis 500. I know it's still a big deal. They'll get 200,000 people down there at the Brickyard over Memorial Weekend, but it doesn't have the cachet it used to. I remember as a kid, and I'm not a huge auto racing guy like you are, but I remember that was one, hey, you were going to watch it or at least see part of it. You knew about it, and there were legendary guys driving, you know, Foyt, Unser, Parnelli Jones. I mean, you wanted to see what happened in Indy. I don't think it's the case anymore.
Yeah, it is amazing what's happened to motorsports, but there's so much competition in motorsports. Now you have the BMX Supercross, you know, big crowds showing up in stadiums. I know Anaheim has a big stop for Supercross. They travel all over the country. You look at what's happened to the Olympic Games. It's interesting. I've watched a fair amount of the Olympics. You see more and more snowboard-based events. You know, once upon a time, you know, that wasn't part of the Olympic program. Now they got all sorts of different snowboard-based events.
It's almost like the Winter X Games.
Absolutely.
I went to one day of the X Games here last summer, and they're coming back for another run this summer. So if you want to check that out, you'll have another option or another opportunity. But, yeah, I mean, and you know what? When I sat there and watched the X Games at U.S. Bank Stadium and watched guys on a 250-pound motorcycle, you know, go up a ramp and literally get as high as the upper level at U.S. Bank Stadium, I would look at the replays and go, wow, he's up to the ribbon board of the upper level and then coming back down and landing it, sticking it. And one guy did not stick it, and he went down, and, boy, the medical crew got out there in a heartbeat. And I sat there and said, oh, I hope he's okay. To your point about that
danger.
Thrill, that possibility of it was there. But I was impressed by what they did at the X Games. I think I'm going to go back.
All right, 3:26 here at CCO. More on a Sports Saturday coming up.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
3:28 here at CCO. Have you been taking in any of the Olympics? Lindsey Vonn fell a bit short in the giant slalom. She has another shot in the downhill. And I like the Winter Olympics. My wife and daughter got annoyed the other night when I said, well, I just want to see what's going on with the Timberwolves, you know, check in. And they said, you can follow the Timberwolves game very comfortably on Twitter. The Winter Olympics come along every 4 years. We want to watch the Olympics. So I lost the battle of the remote. I like it. I like the fact that a lot of these sports, these people generally toil in obscurity. This is their moment in the sun. I know there's a lot of politics and the fact that the Russian athletes are there, even though institutionalized doping, they're competing as Olympic athletes from Russia, whatever that is. There's always that sort of stuff. They spend too much on the games, creating these new venues from scratch in a lot of countries that can't afford it. I'm not saying South Korea can't afford it, but you look at what happened in Rio and money was spent that they didn't have on venues that are now just rotting back into the jungle and being overtaken by the jungle. So there's a lot of problems with the Olympic movement. But all in all, you got to tip your cap to these people in all of these disciplines and the work they put in. Shaun White found a way in the final run to win a gold medal. It's a sport judged by other human beings, but it was still a great performance. For someone who knows I'm a skier, but I know very little about snowboarding, it was still a really good performance. It was enjoyable. It was like, wow, he did a good job. Looks to me like he was the top guy and deserved the gold medal. I mean, I just think there's cool moments over the course of the 2 weeks that make it memorable, even though Lindsey Vonn fell short.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that in most cases these athletes are as good at what they do as, what we see in team sports, whether it be, MLB, NFL, NBA, MLS, NHL. I mean, the time they put in, and you're right, they toil in obscurity for, 3 years and 50 weeks, and then they get 2 months or 2 weeks to shine on the Winter Olympic stage, and it does expose other sports that we're not, typically following. It gives them that global platform, and I think snowboarding certainly has gotten a lot bigger. Even if you drive around the Twin Cities after a good snowfall, and if there's anything remotely resembling a hill, you've got people going down, and certainly Buck Hill and places like that, Elm Creek, have become popular. And then you go out west where you have the real mountains, and then it's a huge deal. But what has been, though, a disappointment has been the U.S. I mean, they come in with 244 athletes, the most of any country going into the Winter Olympics, and only 9 medals, 4-way tie for 5th in the medal count. We're about halfway through this thing, and most people are already saying a very disappointing, subpar performance by the U.S. Winter Olympic team, athletes, contingent, whatever. Norway getting it done. How about Norway and Germany, Canada, Netherlands, all ahead of the United States?
Yeah, big problems. I'm sure there'll be a committee.
Oh, yeah, they'll blow it up.
Trying to change what's going on. But nevertheless, Lindsey Vonn gets another shot later in the week in the downhill. The women's hockey team, that's another intriguing story. Can the United States finally break through, win gold, and beat Canada? That's one of my favorite storylines going into week number 2 of the Olympic Games. It would be great to see Lindsey Vonn and what she's been through injury-wise to get another medal after all she's been through in her career. But, another group or team that I'm really pulling for, Team USA Women in Hockey, to get it done and beat Canada.
Well, and what would be nice is if another country could somehow wedge into that picture, because it's been Canada and the U.S. just dominating women's hockey since they brought it on board in the Winter Olympics. I mean, the joke is it's, Canada and the U.S. and everybody else is playing for third. Now, to be fair about the U.S. and their subpar showing so far, some of the sports where the Yankees usually succeed, freestyle skiing, bobsled, those haven't happened yet. So there's a chance for the U.S. to rise up in the medal standings. But I think there will be some disappointment when they have the closing ceremonies in Pyeongchang.
3:33, we'll have the weather in a moment. More Sports Saturday coming up with Steve and Eric. 3:37 here at CCO. And how about this? A big, big upset in sports. Apple Valley will not be going to the state wrestling tournament for the first time since 1982. That was my senior year in high school. I graduated in 1982, and Apple Valley will not be appearing as a team. Individuals will certainly be going to the state tournament out of Apple Valley. But how about that? And that went down last night. Apple Valley got beat in the sections. Amazing.
Yeah, Shakopee slays the Giant. Yeah. 35-year run is over. The Eagles had won 12 straight state tournaments. Yeah, grappling greatness, clearly. I mean, when you talk about not just what they've done here in Minnesota, but they're recognized nationally. They're one of your top three or four wrestling programs at the prep level in the U.S. So that is a huge shocker, Stevie T, no question about it. And hard to believe we're getting to that point where tournaments will be starting. And I guess that means we're getting through winter. Is that accurate?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 37 today. We got some snow, a little more cold. But the cold stuff is getting a little warmer. That's the sign. It's staying lighter later in the day. On my drive home from my full-time job down in Eden Prairie up to the northern suburbs, even if I leave work at 5:30, there's still some light in the sky. And believe it or not, I sometimes do stay till 5:30 or 6. A lot of my coworkers don't believe that, but I do. I mean, I do actually put in an honest day.
Wow.
At my other job. But, yeah, it's good to see.
And then all that work you do here and for QCTV, the big question is, when are you ever off?
Well, you know, I want to stay busy. I want to stay busy. And by the way, it was fun on Thursday night on QCTV, called the Section 7 2A girls hockey final between Andover and Forest Lake. Andover won it 3-0 at Fogarty Arena in Blaine to punch air ticket to the state tournament. And we have the pairings here somewhere for the girls tournament starting on Wednesday in St. Paul for 1A. And we can run that down real quick. Once again, Wednesday at the X at 11, girls hockey. Number 2, Breck against Marshall. Number 3, Red Wing against Proctor, Hermantown around 1 o'clock. Then at 6, number 1, War Road against New Ulm. And then in the nightcap at around 8, number 4, Alexandria area takes on St. Paul United. And then in the 2A tournament starting on Thursday, number 2, Centennial takes on Lakeville South in the opener at 11 a.m. At 1, number 3, Hill Murray against Egan. And then at 6, number 1, Edina gets Brainerd, who had a thrilling, I think, 2 overtime section final. And then number 4, Andover takes on number 5, Eden Prairie in the nightcap. So there you go. Girls state tournament and state wrestling starts the following week in St. Paul.
And boy, Edina, that big win over Blake, the top-ranked teams. Edina,
that's right,
punched their ticket.
Yeah.
Love the uniforms. Always have. I mean, it's basically North Stars at the prep level, you know, the green, the gold, the white. But just love that look. I think their uniforms, along with Bloomington
sharp.
Jefferson, the powder blue that the Jaguars wear, those are my favorite hockey uniforms in Minnesota.
Yeah, so great time of year. So there's other state tournaments, but it's girls hockey, wrestling, boys hockey as the sections gear up this week all around the state. A lot of drama there. Then it's girls hoop and boys hoop. And then, of course, so there are boys swimming and diving in the mix as well. So a great time of year. But back to that upset and the story out of the Star Tribune. Jim Paulson was covering, and I was following him on Twitter last night. But Shakopee beat Apple Valley 34-30 to win the Class 3A Section 2 title Friday night. It was at Lakeville North. Apple Valley had defeated Shakopee 28-19 a year ago in the section final. The Sabres' victory Friday came after they had defeated Apple Valley 32-30 during the regular season, earning them the number one ranking in the state and the top seed in the section. Now, Shakopee coach Jim Jackson is the former coach at Apple Valley. So how about that storyline as well?
And it just goes to show you that Jim Jackson is a whale of a coach, that he can take what he did at Apple Valley, move to another part of the Twin Cities, and get Shakopee into that state tournament. It reminds me of what the great Dan Gable once did. I believe he went from Iowa to Iowa State and made a seamless transition. Look, if you're a good coach, you can win anywhere. It may take a while to get your program and the foundation that you want put in place, but yeah, congratulations to the Sabres. And that certainly the Apple Valley run is one of the most dominant prep runs in Minnesota high school history. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah,
you have Edina tennis is in there, and
yeah, girls tennis is one that comes to mind.
Obviously, Eden Prairie football.
Yeah. But you're right, and I wonder where that run stacks up nationally among powerhouse programs in all sports all over the country. It would be really interesting to see, but 35 consecutive state team appearances. Now, Apple Valley will still have individual wrestlers in the state tournament. This is just the team competition, but still an absolutely extraordinary run. It just goes to show that every streak's going to come to an end, and Apple Valley's came to an end last night. Shakopee and their former coach, Jim Jackson, led the way. And if you look at what Jim Jackson did, as head coach at Apple Valley, Jackson won 618 dual meets and 14 state championships before leaving in 2012.
It was a lock. I used to cover that event when I was over at Channel 4, and I always called it controlled chaos. You would go into the XL Energy Center and mat mania. I mean, all you would see is a bunch of mats out there on what would be the hockey floor, and all these kids, you know, jogging in the concourse, getting weighed in, getting ready to go out and perform on the mat. But you always went to Jim Jackson and Apple Valley because you knew – they were going to win the thing, and they would have individual champions as well. And this year, it'll be a little different. And with the exception of the people in Apple Valley, it's probably good for the sport.
It is 3:45 here at CCO. Steve and Eric hanging out on CCO. We've got a ton more coming up. Eric goes solo between 4 and 6 here on CCO. Stick around.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
3:49, 11 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. Coming up, Big Ten men's hoops, border battle, Minnesota at Wisconsin, Kohl's Center on Monday night at 8 o'clock. Brad Davison, of course, from Maple Grove, a big part of what's going on at Wisconsin. Nate Reavers as well from Lakeville North down at Wisconsin. And, of course, Minnesota's really struggled this season with injuries and the suspension. And now Reggie Lynch no longer enrolled. He gave up his appeal, and he's no longer part of the team, no longer part of the University of Minnesota.
Yeah, it's been a really – the ultimate nightmare if you're a Gopher basketball fan and you have this border battle on Monday, and it's more fizzle than sizzle, no doubt about it. The Gophers 3-12 in the Big Ten, Wisconsin 12-16. I know that the Badgers did beat Purdue the other night, so they had a monster victory, but both these teams struggling. And you look at the Gophers, Stevie T, and Reggie Lynch a year ago, defensive player of the year in the Big Ten, a dominant down low on the block, you know, swatting away shots, a real force and a real reason why they went to the NCAA tournament for the first time in the Richard Pitino regime. They lose Lynch. We know about Amir Coffey. He's got the shoulder injury. Dupre McBrayer has been in and out of the lineup. Nate Mason's battled injuries. It has just been a disaster. And you go back to November 29th, the Gophers were ranked 12th. They hosted Miami at the Barn. The Hurricanes were ranked 10th. It was an ACC Big Ten battle. Minnesota lost that game, but it still seemed like, hey, this team is on the up, that they're on the rise. And since then, everything has changed dramatically. And again, the Gophers, their losing streak, I believe now, is at 7 in a row. And there's just no sign this thing's going to turn around. They're depleted.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And now they try and move on. They've got a good recruiting class, But this roller coaster ride, 2 years ago, we know what a nightmare it was. 8 wins. The Mountains Pack here a year ago. They get to the tournament. And then this year, the suspension to Lynch, the injuries that you outlined, the inconsistencies. You know, hopefully at some point in time, things smooth out with this program. And the good recruiting class, albeit you know, bringing in some very highly touted players, that they can be in that top third of the Big Ten year in and year out. Because that was a hope this year, that they would ultimately contend for a title. I remember when we bought tickets to a non-conference game earlier this year, some family in town for the holidays, the thought was is that this is going to be a legitimate contender, and it just spiraled out of control. It's just a 180 from where the season started.
Yeah, and they got absolutely battered the other night by Michigan State. Losing by 30. That one was, you know, like the JV taking on the varsity. Now, you go back to some of the other games. I was at the Nebraska game at the Barn about a week and a half ago. They took that thing down to the wire. Nate Mason had a three ball go in and out that might have given the Gophers a chance to win it. And then before that, they lost to Michigan on the road in overtime. So they've been around. They've hung around in some of these games. But ultimately, they're just not good enough. And next year's going to be a huge year, I think, for Richard Pitino. He's going to have to find a way to get it back on track, because you start looking at his overall body of work. Only one tournament appearance in the NCAAs. The opening year was an NIT championship. But other than that, there have been three clunkers. I think most people would say, well, this year, this season, hard to overcome those injuries. Not many coaches would be able to do that. But I think next season is going to be huge for Pitino and for the Gopher program to get it back on track. It's just so unfortunate. You know, last March, they were over in Milwaukee playing in a first-round game against, I think it was Tennessee Chattanooga. Somebody like that, and they got knocked out right away. But it sure looked like this was a team that was going to be a potential power this season. And they were early. I mean, early on, they got off to a good start. I mentioned the Miami game. They gave the Hurricanes a run at the Barn. But once Lynch went out, things went downhill quick.
Number 10, Maryland, coming in tomorrow to take on the Minnesota women's team. Marlene Stallings is going to join you coming up at about 5:10 today. This has been a really good story. Carly Wagner, 2,000 career points. What a great career she's had. 9-4. Once again, number 10, Maryland, coming in town atop the Big Ten Conference. Brenda Fries, an old friend, brings the Terps in. This will be a good one. And a tip of the cap to Marlene Stallings and the Golden Gopher women. They've been a surprise this year. They've got 20 victories, 20-6 on the season. This looks like a tournament team.
Yeah, and right now they're in fourth place, so if they can hang on and finish number four, they'll get that double bye in the tournament.
Yep.
That's big. That moves you deeper into the tournament without playing. And you brought up the 20-win season. That's now three times in the last 4 years under Stallings. The Gophers have had 20 or more wins. They're 12-1 at the Barn. So if you're looking for something to do tomorrow, go to the Barn. You brought up the fact Maryland's ranked 10th in the nation. Yep. Brenda Fries is a former coach of the Gophers. There's something to go sample and check out this team, led by some very good players. Kenesha Bell, Wagner, you brought her up, and Godiva Hubbard, Destiny Pitts. They have a good season going, and it could get better.
And they get up and down the floor. They're a fun team to watch.
Pace, yeah, tempo.
They definitely get up and down the floor, triple digits. And now I'm sure Brenda Fries and the Maryland Terrapins will have something to say about the pace of play tomorrow. But Marlene Stallings, I've talked to her in the past. They even get after it in practice. They like to get up and go.
Well, and teams that typically do that are have great stamina. So they're teams that, you know, you get late in a game, they're not going to wear down because they're used to running in practice. They're used to running, you know, all through a game. And I think most fans like that up and down style, that tempo. I mean, I always go back to the days of a guy like Paul Westhead, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll give up a ton, but we're going to score just a little more.
Yeah, a lot of fun. All right, real quick, Eric, what do you got coming up between 4 and 6 today?
So, yeah, we'll have Marlene on at 5:10. Billy Robb, the business of sports. We'll talk Olympic ratings and who are the athletes that will cash in from the Winter Games. Dustin Morse, Twins Media Relations Director, will join us from Fort Myers. And also in the 5 o'clock hour, Larry Fitzgerald's out there at the NBA All-Star Weekend in Los Angeles. He'll check in And Chris Thomason, a guy that you know well from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. We'll talk Minnesota Vikings football. It's a year-round subject. And, hey, the Combine is coming up. The NFL Olympics, the most overrated thing on the face of the earth, is just days away.
Oh, wait a minute. I thought you loved that.
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I am a guy that believes what you did on Saturday should carry a lot more weight than what you do in your shorts and a tank top, bench pressing 225 pounds or running around cones or trying to show us what your vertical is. I'm all about game tape.
TV program.
It sure is. And the NFL Network will get a pretty good number.
Yeah, and we talked about numbers earlier. The Combine, the numbers for this are unbelievable.
It is amazing. And look, some guys, I think you do got to look at. A D2 kid, let's say an Adam Thielen coming out of Minnesota State, I'm going to want to look at him because D2's not as, you know, not as lofty as D1. But some of these D1 guys, I already know what Baker Mayfield can do. You know, a year ago, I knew what Deshaun Watson could do. I saw it. I saw them play football games and excel. If you want to talk to them, measure their character, their heart, find out if they have any passion, I'm all for that. If a guy benches 225 pounds 25 times, that doesn't mean he's going to be a star. It does not mean that. Troy Williamson ran a 4.240 at the Combine. Mike Tyson, the Viking coaching staff, had to wipe the drool off their face. Did they ever see if he could catch a football? He could not.
Yeah.
He had vision problems. That came out later, too.
Deciding an NHL game by way of a shootout is preposterous. The Ducks beat the Wild in an 11-round shootout. Whoa. Final 3-2. They win the shootout 3-2. Win the game 3-2. 11 rounds. You know what? Can you imagine MLB deciding extra inning games with a home run hitting contest?
I can imagine anything in pro sports these days.
Yeah. All right. We have the news and weather coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.